You have to excuse me a little bit. Sometimes I get caught up in remembering who God's been in my life. And you don't really understand the magnitude of His mercy and grace until you need it. Until you're desperate and down, you don't understand what it is to be lifted up. Until you think you've got it all together and you fail miserably, you don't understand what it is to have not only the provider, but the provision in the provider. Y'all not follow me this morning. You don't want to help because I think you all rode in on your little white horse this morning, didn't you? You're sitting much higher than I've sat. So I get it. That's fine. One day you'll get knocked off your horse. Ask Saul. Well, he wasn't on his horse, but I don't want to use the KJV on you first thing this morning, but he was knocked off his ass. And y'all done got tore up. Done got tore up already. See, first you grow up on the KJV. You quote scripture out of the KJV, but as soon as I want to make a point to you, listen, you think you've got it all worked out. Brother, sister, you don't. I'm telling you, the longer I live and the more that I'm actually in God's Word and preaching and teaching God's Word, the more I'm finding out that I am so lost. See, you may not wonder what it's going to be like that day that you got to stand before Him. I do. I think about that in deep. I don't just go, I wonder what it's going to be like. I wonder if the streets are going. I'm not even thinking about it. I'm worried about Him looking. We had discussion the other night talking about some of this. Because when He looks at you, is He even going to ask you a question? Because He's all-knowing anyway. And when He looks at you, He already sees your heart. There ain't nothing you're going to be able to say. There ain't nothing you're going to be able to pull out your pocket and go, but wait a minute. He's already seen it all. Pastor, this is supposed to be about marriage, family. This is. See, I'm trying to get you right because until you're right in the home, you'll never get the home right. Pastor, he started off in fifth gear, wide open. God, we are so feeble in all of our ways. It's pure disgust that we even think that we deserve anything from Him. See, you'll hold your grudge against your spouse and expect Him to bless what you wantin'. And the whole time, you don't want Him holding no grudge against you. I should have brought a sofa chair in here or something so I could sit down. And just calm down. Just stretch your hands out and say, calm down, preacher. We've been trying to... All right, I'm just going to talk to the people that want to be helped in their relationships. So if that's not you, you can leave. You can wait on everybody else later. But I want to help you this morning. Because we have gotten so far right or left that we forgot what it is to be in line. We don't know what it is to be in line. We say, oh, we use the word love. We throw that thing out like cotton candy. We use that word so much now. We use it in such ways that it disgusts God. Teenagers, y'all can hear this. This will be good for you. This will be good for you. Love isn't sex. Right. You can't tell somebody that you love them just to get sex. And stop using this little flippant thing of let's make love. You ain't making love. You're having sex. It might be too hot. I told them, didn't I tell them? When we started, I told you last week, coming here with your big boy boots on, your big girl pants on, and let's get down and dirty. Do you want to know how to make your marriage better? Do you want to know how to make your relationships better?
Yes. Amen.
Okay, I got two or three. Rest and get donuts. Donuts and coffee. You'll knock yourself out. How do I open this up? Boy, I started out on fire. Now I got to reel it in. Now I got to. That's something like y'all were doing, wasn't it? But just never had a tug on the end. It's kind of how I feel this morning. I'm throwing the bait out in the water, but ain't nobody biting. Y'all sitting there like this. You know, I think a lot of what we misunderstand in relationships is love. We misunderstand that word. We don't really know what that word actually holds. And when we have complications in understanding certain things in life, we've got to refer back to the manual. God said that everything that was written aforehand, that was before you and I, everything that was written before you and I was for our learning. So we have to go back to that. And if I want to really understand love, I've got to look at how God loves. I've got to know what it is that God has in Him, that where He can love us no matter what. And how I struggle with loving. Anybody in here, do you have a problem with struggling with loving? Look, the rest of them's lying. Girl, let me. Rest of them lying. Tell them where liars go. There's a place. Look, every one of you sitting in here right now struggle with loving. Including me. But every one of you sitting here struggling with loving. God loves differently. I've told you this before. God loves with foreknowledge. God knew exactly what you were going to do last week before you'd done it, and He still said some 2,000 years ago, forgive them. He still said, Father, unto you I commit my spirit, because He died for you. That's the love. That's appropriating love. Some of you are tied up in what they say and not what they do. That's why you fail miserably in the relationships. Because just because somebody says they love you, let me tell you something. Not everybody that looks in your eyes and says, I love you, loves you. Because you wait till tomorrow. You're going to do something they don't like. Now they go talk about you. Can we just get in a big circle, hold hands, and sing Kumbaya or something? I mean, this is the only thing going to lighten y'all up. Y'all getting tight already on me? Just settle down, just shine. God loves with foreknowledge. He sees what we were going to do. He knows what we were going to say. He knows how we were going to behave. He knew all of that before He done anything. But yet He still done it. Why? For God so loved. And if your wife does something wrong, you want to get mad. Don't take offense, because I'm going to look at each one of you this morning in your eyes. And just because I'm on that point doesn't necessarily know that I know anything. Now, if it burns or it hurts, that means God knows something and God just used that moment.
That's right.
Don't get tight and get mad and get offended with me. Uh-huh. Yeah. You want to scream at somebody, scream at God. But do it after church. When he don't get home when he's supposed to, you want to fly off a handle. I'm not saying there's not going to be misunderstandings in marriage. But you'll shut him down. You won't even cook for him.
Nope.
Boy, how I know.
How you know?
Tell me how I know. You old nasty. Back in the day. We love off of past knowledge. We live our love based on what we know of you and about you up to this point, and what you've done to and for us up to this point. That's why we say, I love you. We'll end the hot moment with what? I love you. Huh? Did you miss it? You didn't miss it, did you? Okay. I'll come back. I will reveal. I don't want you to miss a thing.
Yep.
So pay attention. I don't want you to miss nothing this morning. I don't ever want you to miss anything, but I'm just trying to help you out as a home,
yeah,
as couples, as relations, as marriages. Man, I'm tired of watching you run to the courthouse because it's the easy way out. I'm tired of you saying, I've had enough.
Right.
Stamp the paper, Judge. I don't give it everything. Just get her out. It's kind of funny. Well, it's not really funny. But I seen something the other day on Facebook. It might have been a reel or something. And the dude was strolling out the courthouse. And I'm sure I'm going to forget the name that he actually used. But he's walking, got his shirt unbuttoned, got the gold chain on, and he's coming out the courthouse, walking down the steps, and it said, me, after coming away from my third marriage, now I'm able to get Linda off my back about being married.
Oh,
y'all come on up in the house this morning.
Yeah.
He hit a nerve or something. But this is what we do. And we call it okay. Shame on the church for teaching. Now listen, do not carry any condemnation out of this room this morning. If you've ever gone through something that I'm hitting on. Just relax. Take a deep breath. Okay? God's grace is sufficient.
Yes, it is.
All I want to do this morning is start chiseling at the curse.
Yeah.
I want to break it away.
Amen.
I want to divide evil from good.
That's right.
We're not going to look at evil and call it good.
That's right.
And look at good and call it evil. I'm going to divide that. Some of you might walk out of here. You might have a chip out your side, chip out your leg, a toe might be something. But there going to be a chisel. There going to be a hammer and a chisel. It's coming to you. You ready? Say, I'll receive it, Pastor. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. I just want you to understand where do we, all of this derives from God's love. And we had to understand how God loves. He loves regardless. I'm coming. I just stepped off the curb. Whew. Don't say you my friend and talk about me. You don't love me. I ain't no more your friend than I'm your husband. Right? You can't do, this isn't love. God doesn't walk up to us and look at us and go, oh, I love you, Debbie. I'm going to tell you what, girl, you done all kinds. He ain't thinking none of that. Man, we will trash people in our minds and bless them with our mouth. Oh, I'm coming. I'm coming. I just hope you're ready. Let's go to Ephesians. Chapter 5. We'll start at verse 22. And as soon as we seen that, every man in the house said, amen, preacher. When I'm done, you're going to be going, crap, man, why did he bring that up? And before I'm finished, the women will be going, amen, preacher. And then when I'm done, they're going to be going, crap, why did he bring that up? This is probably the first scripture. Women, I'm going to give you. Here's your moment. This is the first scripture that men remember. Even before they knew John 3:16. When they get saved, they know this one. Boy, demons. Demons. Get them, girl. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, there's organizations out there now that won't even let women sit on the same side as their husband. They put them on one side and men on the other side. They divide. And they call themselves in line. I'm going to go back to here. The first man ever tell my wife, if she can't sit where she's sitting, we going to have a problem. Me and you, not me and her. Me and you. Because she going to look at you and go, you ain't my husband. Look, I went through that for like 12 years. She said, you ain't my daddy. I'm just trying to help you. I'm telling you now, you step across that street, you got your hands full. Don't come crying to me when she done cut you up, diced you up, you black and blue. Nope. You went the wrong way. Submit to your own husbands. Women, listen, you can't be running out there talking to every man trying to figure out why your man ain't acting like you want him to act. What you're doing is opening yourself up to a temptation that you ain't going to be able to dig your way out of, and you're going to go, oops, out jumped the rabbit. Now you got to go home and tell your daddy.
Yeah, come on.
Well, I was just getting counseling. No, you... I'm telling you. Y'all, listen, y'all better hear, preacher. And I'm not speaking from just me reading a book. I'm speaking with wisdom. Wisdom comes by way of experience. We done been there and done that. I got probably 10 times more t-shirts than y'all got.
That's right.
They sitting in my trunk. Shoot, we graduated from t-shirts and went to coats.
Yes.
We got some big coats. Because everything I'm talking to you about is stuff that we've already stumped our toe on. Are y'all going to be able to handle any of this morning? Marriage is tough. You worried about what people think about your faith walk. Can I tell you that your faith walk ain't half as hard as being married? Y'all, no, it's much easier. No, no, it's not. It's because that you have classified what a faith walk is in your own mind. You have given it its own definition for you so that you feel good about when you miss the mark every day. Miss Linda, I'm trying to be as nice. Is that not what we do? We have to feel good about us to even come to church. Some people go, I don't even want to go to church until I'm clean, until I'm done, until I'm good. Brother, I'll never see you. I try to tell them secrets. I got a whole house full of people just like you right now, and they sit here every Sunday and every Wednesday. They just like you. Don't let that be an excuse. That's just the enemy. Come on in here. It's fine. Let the word cut you up, slice you, and dice you. God will put you back together and send you on your way.
Amen.
It's all good. Wives, submit to your own husbands. As to the Lord, understand this. This phrase doesn't mean that you're submitting to you. I'm fixing to help us out. I'm fixing to help us all out. This doesn't mean, Miss Linda, that you submit to your husband as you submit to God. Well, some of them went, some of them got some pens, some of them pushed record. What this means is that you are submitting to your husband because that is your service unto the Lord. I don't know where that come from, but that, y'all just hear that thing say, "Woo, there's an anointing on that one." See, we as men, we think, submit, woman, do what I tell you to do, when I tell you to do it, how I tell you to do it, and that's the end, because I'm the head of the home. The scripture says that I'm the head of the home. It says I'm the head of the home. Well, there's a little bit more into that if you will go deeper into God's word. Amen. There is something that Jesus went through in order to become head of the church. See, 1 Corinthians tells us that he's the head of the church. Man is head of the woman. Don't get ahead of yourself. Ask to the Lord. So women, when you're submitting to your husband, this is how you need to focus. You want an easier way to submit to your husband? You want an easier way? She said, "Pastor, you need to pray for me." The easy way to submit to your husband is you have to view your service to God. God, I love you. And I know that you'll care for me. I know that you'll cover me. Even, I bet you she's prayed it. Even in his ignorance, Lord, you'll cover me. It took 12 years. No, it took more than 12 years. It probably took about 15 for you. Because you were stiff-necked. Stubborn. Look, listen, I'm talking about a woman that was saved, went to church, served in the church, done everything that a Christian woman should do. Hit or miss. And still struggle with the fact that I was head of the home and that she was to submit to me. The submission is as part of service to God. It ain't got nothing to do with husband. Husbands are not heads sometimes. There's sometimes we get set in our little boyish ways. And we expect them to agree and follow along. Can I tell you, that's probably half of our issue. We don't really understand what God has given us. The Bible says when you find a wife, you find a good thing. There's a difference. Some of you are finding women. And you're struggling in your marriage. Just because a woman becomes married doesn't make her a wife. Y'all can't handle it this morning. It's too, Charlie, you turn that thing down to about 50 because it's way too hot up in here. Just tell me, okay, we're gonna do this. The only way a woman becomes a good wife is by this. Now watch. Now this is where a lot of you men get mixed up. It's not you washing your wife with the water of the word. That's not what it says. Jesus, watch. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives, blah, blah, blah. Hey, husbands, love you. I mean, I'm just jumping all over the place. Just deal with me. I've got this stuff that makes me just bounce. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify, that he that he... Tommy got, he said, "Ooh, wait a minute, I woke up." He said that twice, "I must move." Get back on the scripture. Turn back, boy. That he, God, you, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the word by the, now you can turn, Tommy. Word. That he, don't you judge me up in here, boy. that he might present her to himself, a glorious church.
Amen.
Now go back. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, comma. We broke it, right? That he might sanctify. The only thing that we're supposed to do is, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her.
Yes. Yes.
Now it goes on, it's carrying on this same thought pattern of how Jesus done this, that he might sanctify and cleanse. He loved the church in such a manner that he might sanctify them with the watering of the word, that they may be sanctified and cleansed so that he might be able to present them to himself. Here's the difference. Here's the difference. You think it was always husbands, love your wives, washing her with the water of the word. That's not what it says. I wonder why it doesn't say what you thought it always said. Here's the reason. Because men ain't smart enough. Piece of candy. I thought I was out of cough drops. Somebody ain't doing their job. I ain't got no more cough drops in that bowl. This is my last one. It's my power pill. Men ain't smart enough to go through the scripture well enough for me to wash my wife. Because I'm going to do exactly what I just caught you doing. You took it out of context. Dennis, they don't want me this morning. They hating me right now. As good as you think you are, men, husbands, soon to be boyfriends. He's sleeping. He said, "This ain't for me. You'll need this in about 10 years. But we will take scripture out of context so that we can rule our home. And this is what God's doing here. He said, "No, I'm smarter than that. I'm eliminating that thought. You're not good enough to wash her with the word. What I want you to do is love her as Christ loved the church." Well, how did he do that? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. There was something that took place when Christ became head of the church. There were some things that Christ had to fulfill. But made himself of no reputation. Men, why you got to be all let up in your home? Holy Spirit, protect me after church. They might want to beat me down. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Here Jesus is, and it said when he found himself in the manner of men, basically in this little earthly suit that we got. He went, whoa, wait a minute. I mean, just think about what's going on in this dude's mind. Come on. There. 1 minute, he is glorified. He is. Right? And the very next moment, he finds himself, oh, where? Imagine the shock. And he's going, whoa. I can just see it, even at a minute old, man. Because he was God fully. Come on, see, y'all got to get in the scripture with him. You got to understand who we're dealing with. Here's God, fully God. Now he's fully man, and it's all at the same. You think you got it rough trying to deal with this stuff here? No. Girl, we ain't got no problems. And he goes, whoa, I'm God. And understanding that, he said, oh, wait, now you got to remember, now God is all knowing. He's way better than I am. He can explain all this in one word, and it takes me like 3 hours. So just bear with me. God's going, but wait a minute. I'm here for a purpose. I am fully man that I might die so that I might bring back to me my creation in a form of purity. Yes. And he done put all that stuff in his mind, all it, boom. And he went, I'm going to humble myself. I can't be God and be man in the way that they understand. I've got to be fully man knowing that I'm fully God. Yeah. Yeah. This means I have to limit myself in certain areas. God is omnipresent. Yes, but he was in Nazareth and not in Bethlehem. He was in Galilee, but not in Samaria. Jesus was limited in his manhood. So he couldn't be everywhere at once. I believe this is why he looked at the disciples and said, it's better that I go and send another one like me. Because greater works shall you do than me. And I still believe that is tied to his restriction as man on the earth. Right. All right, don't get into that teaching. We're still on marriage. So Jesus finds himself as God and totally humbles himself in every scenario. I'm going to have to get all you men up here on the altar. And we will have to anoint your head. Because listen, you're not going to be man of your house just because you say it.
That's right.
Your voice ain't got that much authority.
Right.
You might think it do. She still uses that on you. Husbands, you might think it's going to go as you say it goes. But the only way that you become head of your home is that you totally humble yourself.
Amen.
I'm trying to help you on how God loved.
That's right.
Man, there is a defined moment when we have to come to a full understanding of what it is to love our wife.
Yeah.
I felt like hitting the men a little harder this morning because the women felt a little like this. So I don't want to beat them up too much. They'll get mad at me. And then you'll have to put up with it at home. I'm trying to help you out. I'm using you as an example, but trust me, it's helping you. So if we humble ourselves and we die to self. Then the submission from the spouse becomes her service. This is why I call it, this is the standoff Because I'm not going to submit until you love, and I'm not going to love till you submit. So we had to go and we had to throw this thing up and parallel it with Christ, because Scripture said this is the great mystery of Christ and the church. We should be modeling before the world. See, you're worried about beating people up with Scripture, and I'm trying to get you, if you lived a life holy unto Him, you wouldn't have to beat so much with Scripture, because the Holy Spirit would handle that portion. But because they look at you and how you treat each other, I better leave. You want to finish? But we are presenting ourselves to the world just like the world presents itself. You don't have a higher standard in your marriage than what they do out there. You will drop your spouse at the drop of a hat. You will run to court just as quick as they will. Don't lie to yourself right now. At least let's go through this and let's get cut up and nurtured. And then let's stand and profess that we won't do that. You don't know what you will do until you're exposed to the moment. Because your love is based off of what have you done for me lately. Because you didn't understand that we are supposed to love as Christ loves. God said if you can't love your neighbor, you want your wives to submit? Start loving them.
Yeah. Come on.
Quit abusing. If you're doing anything other than loving them, you are abusing them. Shame on you, and may God have mercy. You don't understand the connection. Let me help you. God calls the woman that He give you the same name that He calls Himself. When He says that I'm a present help in time of need, that is the spouse. It's the same word. It's the word Ezer. It's the same word. It's easier. Just relax, man. Baby just hungry. Everything, every little thing gonna be all right. See, y'all want to know how I do this? This is how I do this. I got to play stuff like that in my head, man, just to keep me. But we don't understand the position of the woman with God. And He says, I am the present help in time of need. I look unto the hills to where my help comes from. Ezer, it's the same Hebrew word that He gave the spouse, Eve, when He said, help meet. It's the same word. Some of you men ought kind of get a little excited. That way when you're in trouble in your home and you scream help, there ought to be two people come running through the house. The Holy Spirit and your wife. There's a connection. I wonder why God didn't put love on the wife. See, y'all don't think about stuff like that. You just taking what you're getting right now. You just eating and enjoying your food. And I get it. I understand. I'd like to eat it too. But sometimes I just can't because He goes, no, wait a minute. What if this? And I go, I don't want to do that right now. It's a squirrel moment. But you have this commandment as husbands. You want to be the head of the home and you want to force the submission on the spouse. In reality, if you would man up, put your big boy boots on and become a husband and stop worrying about what your friends and your relatives might say because you do love your wife. Oh, you can't come out and play. You're spending time with your wife again. Well, yeah, because I know what's good for me.
That's right.
Those of you that are not married, you do not understand at this present moment. But might I add, you will. If mama says, whatever, The answer is no.
No.
I just saved you two or three lumps on the head right there. If that's what you really want to do, go ahead. That means you better not. If you know what's best for you. But we're put in that position to love our wives. That means being willing not to make reputation for herself. I don't have to be the man of the home to be the head of the... Come on, girl, you better help me preach with this. I found out early, later, probably. Probably more on the late side than early-ish. Because early, it's probably... I found out a little later in life that the submission was extremely easy when she found that I was willing to die to me.
Amen. That's right.
When she creeps in on my... And wives, I do not encourage you to do this. Don't you creep in on your man when he's spending time with daddy. You get your nosy tail right back out that front door and go to the store or something. Go shopping.
Yep.
You leave your man alone if he's down there eating carpet.
Yep.
You leave him alone. Leave. Leave him alone. You've been trying for 30 years to fix your man. And that's why he still ain't fixed. He's in a position to get fixed because he's talking to daddy. And here come your nosy self.
Come on. That's right.
What are you doing? You got to pray. We got yard work. Yard work. Can you take out the trash? Don't forget the dogs. He's doing what he's doing right now for you.
Amen. That's right. Come on. Come on. Preach it.
No, if you've seen some of the looks I was getting right now, you'd say, honey, you better stop.
No.
I'm sweating. You're constantly wanting to change each other. And never interested in changing yourself. Can I tell you how we enter into marriage? Husbands and wives enter into marriage differently. Michelle, listen up. Husbands and wives enter into marriage differently. Wives enter in with the idea that they can change the man. No, he might be acting like a fool right now, but just let me get my hands on him. He'll be fine. Let me pray for him and everything. Every little thing will work out. Just let me get involved and I'll take care. It will change. And the men enter in like this. We're scared plumb out our mind because we're scared that you're going to change. Y'all didn't get it. I married you because I loved you. Don't change. But what happens? Instantly. You go from being the girlfriend and the fiance to being my mother. I didn't want to marry my mama. I wanted to marry you. I just need you to be my wife. Can we leave the mother stuff aside? We know, man, we know. Guys, I'm trying to help you. If you ain't married yet, I'm letting you know right now. I ain't going to point you out. But if you're not married, I'm trying to help you. I'm going to get me one of the Moses canes. A little higher, ain't he? I want the big knot on the end of it. Man, every time we turn around, you changing. You change your mind every 15 minutes. One day you're happy, the next day you're mad. We don't know whether to get up and kiss you or jump out the window and get in the truck and go to work. We don't know what to do at any given moment. You could be talking to us, and all of a sudden you took a left turn. You left me standing in the middle of the street. There ain't no traffic lights, and I'm getting run over, and you're looking at me going, well, what happened? You didn't tell me that. Yeah, I told you that when we were talking in the Bible. And she take me down through the whole process again. And I told you right about here. No, that was when you took a left. No, I dropped it off. Well, I didn't hear it. All I heard was wheels squealing. You took a left. I didn't hear anything else. But you're thinking you can change us and we don't want you to change. We got a problem on our hands. And if we don't understand what it is to love and what it is to submit, we will have a problem on our hands until we divorce. Man, the big thing used to be 50% of all marriages would end in divorce. That used to be the big thing, 50%. Man, we have superseded that and ain't nobody giving it a blink. Ain't nobody giving it a blink. And the church is failing because the church will not get in your face and stir up your bread and butter.
That's right.
Mix up your little vegetable soup. I ain't scared to come in your kitchen. I'll get in your sock drawer. Never mind. Some of you don't know. We'll keep it that way. I don't care, because I don't want to see you fail. I definitely don't want, after all, I was used to put it together with God. God said, you do it. So now I feel obligated. I can't let, y'all excuse me a minute. I can't let you to wander in the world. I've got to keep you in the fold. Because it's there I know that grace and mercy.
Amen.
That's why I'm so passionate about it when you come to this church. I can't let you screw your life up. You can't keep doing. It's different now. You live for the King, not for me. You living for the one that's going to come back tatted up. I just messed everybody. He tatted up on his thigh, King of Kings. See, y'all don't like that. Y'all think tattoos take you to hell. I don't know what he's got. I just know it's King of Kings. I'm pretty sure it ain't going to be put in chalk. I don't know. I'm not trying to sell tats. I don't have them myself. But I'm always scared of being religious and putting a dove on me or something, that thing turned into a buzzard in about 6 years because everything. You go from a rose to one of them man-eater plants or something. What was that? Oh, it was a rose when I was 25. Now you're 80. You walk and it scares people because they think it's going like this. I'm trying to get you to laugh because what I'm giving you is pretty hard.
Yeah.
And some of you don't want to receive what I'm putting out.
Yeah.
But if I can get you to laugh, laugh is like medicine to the bones, so it'll be easier for you to take it down.
Yeah.
So I'll try to get you to laugh after a hard point. I mean, you've got to want to be in a different place in your marriage before it will work anyway. Some of you got married because you was lazy. You want the other one to do it all. All right, I'm coming. Personal conviction. Leave it alone, right? But this ain't. Bible said a man don't work, man don't eat. Man, get off your butt. Go provide for your family. Get back over here. Just relax a minute. We get married for different reasons. And most of the reasons are wrong. She fell in love with my butt, not me. See, y'all think it's your first lady pastor just so holy. She might be now, but she won't. His butt. Oh. I think we're taking this from a Sunday to a Wednesday pretty quick, so be ready. We might. We need Facebook. We love that you stopped by and seen us early this morning, but I'm going to cut you loose. We'll see you next Sunday.
So, we were very young when we got married. I was 22. He was 25. And I feel like I knew I loved him, but I also had like fleshly reasons behind why. Then, now that I know about all that,
she said, ooh wee.
You know, not that I loved him less or anything like that, but now that I know about, you know, satisfying the flesh and things like that, there were definitely reasons that, you know, parallel with that.
Oh, we're going to get into some heavier stuff when it comes to this, because how many of you know that life cycles?
Yes.
Life ebbs and flows. We're going to look into 1 Corinthians 13 next week. Tommy, I ain't got time today. I ain't got time today. I definitely ain't got time today. Because there's probably going to be 4 messages just out of chapter 13. But life ebbs and flows so much. If we don't understand love, we'll never make it through chapter 13. Because see, there's going to be ups and downs. There's good and bads. There's some pretties and there's some uglies. Now you take that however you want to take that. I'm just telling you, with age, not everything stays the same. That's all I'm telling you. Sex drives will go. You got to be careful. You can't love for them kind of reasons. Because eventually them kind of reasons going to go away. And now you standing here holding a bag going, now what?
Yeah.
Boy, I hope I'm helping you. Can I look at my notes? I got 4 more pages. I think the first thing for us, the building block, if you will, for our relationship strength is that we understand how God loved. Because if we are to love as God loves, we got a long way to go. We got a lot of things to fix. We got a lot of things to do over. Now you can sit in here and think you got it. I'm going to help you real quick. You sitting in here thinking you got it, your spouse right now is thinking you ain't got it at all. Now you can plant that wherever you want to plant that, but it can be husband or wife. You might think you've got this thing wrapped.
Yep.
You might think that you got your husband under control because he does everything that you say to do. I'm forewarning you. You better handle your business.
That's right.
We fail miserably.
Yes.
And it don't take but once to get slapped for the men. Men, you think you taking care of your wife and you fulfilling all her needs? You better make sure. Because if you aren't, she'll find somebody that will. You don't want to hear that. Listen, statistically, I'll just use their number at 50%. I'll use the world's number at 50%. Let me tell you what's excluded in the 50%. What's excluded in the 50% are those people that have been dating for years in the same home, living together, that didn't make it. That's one portion of the statistic that's gone. So to me, I think that raises the statistic. I'm going to say it's going to take it up 25%. Today, it'd probably take it up more like 30%. Now, let's not forget about the ones that decided to have sex outside of marriage, which now, in God's eyes, are married. You don't want to, y'all want to hear me preach to you. You're not thinking about those that were just one night stands and they're gone. So just in my point of view, just looking at it, I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. I'll argue with you either way. I think the statistic is probably more in the 90s that are ending in divorce today. Now let me put some fear in your heart. God's not a God of fear, but of peace, love, and strong mind. Let me caution you. See, sometimes I hear him. He's right there, baby. He's talking to me all. He confuses me a lot, too. Go this way, go that way, go this way. Let me put this little bit of knowledge in your mind and you deal with it as you will. The church is included in those statistics. See, you don't know how many people sitting in here right now contemplating divorce. You don't know how many people sitting in here right now have been thinking about it. Some have been sitting in here, I wonder what it would be like. See, you don't want to come and visit me now. You want to keep me at arm's length now. But I'm trying to let you know, there are people that fight it every day. And if I don't do my job and teach you the hard facts, give you the truth of God's word, you're going to fall to that statistic.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be held accountable. So you can get mad at me today or through this series, if you last that long, and then leave, and I'm still going to be okay because I give you truth. I want your marriage to flourish.
Amen.
If we are to be the great mystery of Christ and the church, we have now become, once we say, I do, I will, from today and forevermore, when we say, I'm done, and I am sacrificing myself, I'm giving myself away to you, we have opened ourselves up to be the model of Christ in the church. Tough question. How you doing? If someone's marriage depended on it. No. If someone's salvation depended on your marriage, how you doing? That's what it's all about. When Christ was talking about the sanctifying the church, he's not talking about washing them physically. This is metaphorically. It's talking about the redemption because he can't offer up the church blameless if they carry sin. They have to go through the blood of Christ to be washed and cleansed. That's what he's not talking about your water bath as you would think. He's talking about the water of the Word. What is the Word? The Word of God was God. The Word of God was with God. The Word died for you and I. The Word was buried. And it rose. And now it lives.
Amen. Come on.
How you doing? See, I like to put the weight on you with the marriage. Man, this stuff that you playing games with, house games, stuff's nonsense. When you want to throw the scripture out, this too shall pass, put that on your home because that too shall pass. It's going to be a day we're standing naked before God with nothing. No credentials, no titles, no sheepskins. No accolades. They all stay here and burn. So married folk, before you get married, listen, Michelle. Know that there's a heavy mantle going to be draped across you. And now you've been charged to model Christ in the church. Mm-hmm. Some of them just looked at each other and said, I don't think I want to be married no more. It's too much. Can we find another church? He's a little strong. Drop you on your head. I'm done. I don't want to get into 1 Corinthians. I do not have time. But we go talk about 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13. Read it this week. You probably don't have to read but the first two words, because that's probably going to be the whole sermon just in the first two words. And then we'll go next week, and then you can read the next couple words, and that'll be the sermon for the next couple words. I'm going to tear it up. We're going to rip it apart. We're going to open it up. I want you to understand what love means. So that before you look at your spouse, or let me do it this way. After this, when you look at your spouse and say, I love you, that your spouse will be able to receive it knowing that they have a fuller understanding of what love is. Right. Now, that doesn't give you, that's not a grace card. This doesn't give you permission to go out and tick your wife off to see if she loves you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Don't. You can't play with stuff like that, okay? But I want us to love like God. How would you really like to love your spouse like God loved you?
Yeah.
I mean, be able to do that so openly.
Yeah.
And be so vulnerable in it. Knowing that you're going to do something today that's going to make me mad and I'm going to want to just drag you out back.
Yep.
But I love you. Because everybody's going to do something wrong. Not even on purpose. Now, if you're being vindictive and you do it on purpose, I pray the fleas of 1,000 camels crawl up in your shorts on the ride.